Moving now to another part of Africa, as you've heard us discuss on this program, the Democratic Republic of Congo is celebrating its own independence, 50 years since it broke from Belgium, which once imposed a brutal colonial government. However, even with this historic milestone, many in the Congo see little reason to celebrate. The nation has been plagued with instability, civil war, and political violence for decades, and that has led to a refugee crisis. The advocacy group Refugees International has estimated that there are over 2 million internally displaced people in the Congo, and some 300,000 Congolese refugees are living in neighboring countries. Ruben Brigati is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Population, Refugees, and Migration Affairs at the State Department. He recently returned from a trip to the Congo, so we asked him to stop by our studios here to tell us more about it. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask, because your trip did coincide with the anniversary of independence, what was the mood?
You could clearly see that there were preparations all across the capital, Kinshasa, is also in Goma, the major city in the east. Major preparations for independence, sprucing up the city, and obviously reflections as well on what's happened in the last 50 years.
This whole refugee crisis, do you think that crisis is a fair word
Absolutely.
To use?
Yes.
Has to put a damper on, you know, the celebration of that milestone. So I wanted to ask about who constitutes the population of internally displaced people within the Congo. How did this happen?
Sure. Well, the Congo is a vast country. It's about the size of Western Europe. So what that means effectively is that there is still fighting between amongst a number of armed groups, particularly in the eastern part of the country. And because the country is so vast with so little infrastructure, it's actually really quite difficult for the central government to extend its writ throughout all parts of the country. The Congolese military, the FARDC, has some challenges. And as a result, the fighting amongst these various armed groups displaces many people out of their homes. And as you just mentioned, the number of displaced is probably around 2 million people inside the DRC.
The UN peacekeeping mission in the Congo officially expired on June 30th, which was right around the time of independence celebrations. And the UN has pledged to withdraw up to 2,000 of its approximately 20,000 military personnel. It's quite a large force there. But the president, Joseph Kabila, says he wants all UN troops out by September of 2011. Does the administration, does the Obama administration have a position on this? And how would this shift, if it does occur, affect the situation?
Sure. Well, Michelle, earlier this spring, President Kabila also noted that he wanted all of the peacekeeping mission, then known as MONUC, out, and through a series of negotiations at the UN. What was decided was that the mission would be shifted. Instead of being MONUC, which is a UN mission in the Congo, it has now been called MONUSCO, the UN stabilization mission in the Congo, which started as of July 1st. And that mission will go until the 30th of June. So the short answer to your question is that we will continue to work with the government of Congo, as will the rest of the international community, to just see where we are. Because I can tell you quite frankly, MONUSCO is absolutely critical to what stability there is in the eastern part of the country. And it's hard to see how it could be more stable if those forces were withdrawn within a year.
You know, we've talked often, as the Secretary of State has been quite vocal about the whole question of systemic sexual violence, not just in the Congo, but Congo has become known as the rape capital of the world, where right. sexual violence is routinely used against women and others, and it has to be said other, you know, men too, and boys and children. And I'd like to ask, just what's the chicken and what's the egg here? I mean, is it that the refugee crisis creates such a destabilization that it's just easy to prey on people? What is your sense of this?
Well, you are right.
How the two work together?
Sure. I mean, well, they're clearly integrally entwined. I mean, women are only as safe as the environment in which they operate, or the environment in which they live. And as I mentioned before, the environment is incredibly unstable, and there are a number of drivers to sexually based violence, particularly in the eastern part of the Congo. One is that, frankly, a number of these rapes are done by the Congolese military itself. They're not very well disciplined, and there are even reports of officers who've tried to enforce discipline with regard to soldiers that are raping civilians, that many of those officers have indeed suffered at the hands of their own troops. So that's one problem. Another problem is that there are these various militias that are not associated with the government that are also preying on the local civilian population, either to gain access to commodities or to enforce discipline or simply to enforce you know, chaos as using rape as a weapon of fear in the population as well. So while, you know, we're fond of saying in the State Department that there are no humanitarian solutions to humanitarian problems, there are indeed only political solutions to humanitarian problems. So while there are any number of things that we do and programs that we fund to help assist the population, at the end of the day, we have to focus on reform of the Congolese military, on bringing justice and accountability to that region so that you can create a more secure environment, which will in turn enable women to be more secure as well.
You pointed out the issue is complex, it's longstanding, it has a lot of factors. So what's your mission and how will you know if you have succeeded in it?
Sure. Well, we basically have two missions. The first is to do our best to care for those people that are just both displaced internally and that are made refugees across the national boundaries until such time as political and military conditions permit them to actually return home. So to that end, for example, the State Department has contributed about $45 million last year alone to contribute to everything from shelter, health programs, programs to assist women that have been subject to sexual violence. So that's one piece. Then the other piece is to be very active in our diplomacy to help actually address some of the longstanding political conflicts that have led to the armed violence which displaces these people in the first place. And those are the two main axes in which we're operating.
How will you know if you've succeeded?
We'll know we've succeeded when people get to go home. It's just that simple. But on the one hand, while it's simple, it's also incredibly hard for all the reasons that you might imagine and that we've discussed as well. But it's a problem that we have to continue to work at.
And finally, before I let you go, there are many urgent demands that this administration is expected to address, both domestically and foreign policy side. But just on the foreign policy side, of course, it includes the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and other sort of pressing issues in the Middle East and the Pakistan and so forth. And I would like to ask you, to the degree you feel comfortable saying, why should Americans listening to our conversation be concerned about this one?
Because being concerned about this one is both in our values and our interests. As difficult as things are now, frankly, they were a lot worse 15 years ago with the genocide in Rwanda, the displacements that caused, with the internal fighting inside the Congo. We do not want to see a repeat of that scale of fighting. Indeed, we want to try to work to ensure that it becomes more stable in the future. Otherwise, they will have disastrous consequences for everybody. So for our value's sake and for our interest's sake, we need to continue to work this problem.
Ruben Brigady is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Population, Refugees, and Migration Affairs. He's just back from his visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which, as we've mentioned, just celebrated the 50th anniversary of its independence from Belgium. And he was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.